Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Not a lot of people realize this, but when Paul Majors started in the news business, his name was Marty Buffalini. You know, so it's kind of interesting that Paul's brought in the conversation after Marty's excellent work on traffic. Paul, like all our guests, is on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. How are you, sir?
Thank you very much. At least I made it today.
Yes, that happens. No problem.
I missed you, Dad. I apologize profusely, and I mean that.
No worries at all. I just was worried something happened. So, hey,
here's how selfish I am, Chad. So I get home from what I was doing, and I turn my phone on because I didn't have it with me. And I see that you said that. Are you all right? And I said to my wife, I went, oh, God, Chad's checking up on me.
Well,
what an idiot I am.
Yeah, I mean, well, Paul, when people get to a certain age, you know, friends like to check up on them and just...
good call. But you know, what I feel good about is I had the day right and I had the year right.
And the month. I mean, don't undersell
the
month.
Look.
All right, I have watched the first 20 minutes of what our mutual friend Kathy Werzer did, and I'm all in. I've not had a chance to watch all of it. I'm talking about Broadcast Wars, where Kathy talks to a lot of people about the rise of local TV news, in particular in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. And you obviously arrived upon the scene at Channel 11 when Channel 11 really wasn't a factor at that point.
No, it wasn't at all. No,
okay.
No, September of 1983.
So what were you thinking when you arrived at, was it WUSA then? What was it called at that point?
No, it was WTCN.
So it was TCN still then. Okay, what are you thinking when you arrive upon the scene?
Well, I'm leaving a really good station in San Diego where I'm anchoring the 11 o'clock news and reporting for the early newscasts. So my schedule every day is, you know, 3 to 1 in the morning, midnight. And it's San Diego. The weather's beautiful. I love Pacific Beach. Of all the beaches there, Pacific Beach is my favorite. I go there every morning before work. I boogie board and swim, have a great time. And, you know, I'd lived in Minnesota before, obviously, just while I was in law school. And I'm going, yeah, I can remember this. They made me an offer. They flew me back there. They made me an offer. I wake up, and I was staying at a hotel downtown where I could look out the window, and I saw the Marquette Bank sign where it's the time and temperature.
Sure.
And the temperature was 31 degrees. It's March. Got on the plane, flew back home to Lindbergh Field, the airport in San Diego.
Yep.
Before they ever, I mean, this is when they shoved a stairwell up to the plane and you climbed off.
Right.
The door opens on the plane. I'm walking down the Santa Ana winds are blowing. It's 83 degrees. And I'm going, why in the hell would I ever do that?
Right.
But career-wise, I thought this was the motivation. I thought, you know, there are no expectations that this thing can ever work. So if you go there and you fail, it's really not a massive failure. But if you go there and you have any kind of success, you know, you'll be well rewarded. So that I just took a risk is what I did.
Okay. How soon did you guys start having success?
I think the first time we were ever number one, it may have been July. It was a summer. Back then, the rating periods were November, February, May. And July was still used in some markets. Kind of, it went by the wayside because that's summer holiday time, and viewership is down. People are outdoors. They're traveling, mm-hmm. et cetera.
Yeah.
It was a July ratings period where we beat both KSDP and WCCO and finished number one in households. And I think, I believe it was like 1987.
Okay. So that's four.
86 or 87 yeah, around there.
3-4 years after you're off. So
yeah.
Part of it talks about just how ultra competitive this was. How do you describe that? How do you convey that to individuals who weren't around or weren't aware of that if they lived here and were watching? Maybe some days they'd watch you, some days they'd watch four. Just, you know, how backbiting it really was.
Well, it was very competitive. I mean, I lived it and breathed it. That's, I would wake up, and that's where my mind went. Lying in bed at night, I was wondering, you know, literally, what did we do well? What could we do better? You know, we kind of failed at this. God, we did really well at this. It was just every day. You just, you know, I mean, you know us better than anybody. The Timberwolves can be undefeated 80 games at the end of the season, right? And yet, when they're in their pregame huddle, they're still saying this. No one believes in us.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's us against the world. You know what I mean?
That's
so
the truth.
I adopted that attitude.
Yep.
And I mean, I didn't mind. I didn't really know the people at KSDP and CCO and KMSP.
Yep.
Some of them I knew. But I had to, for me, my purposes, I had to make them the enemy.
Yep.
It's us against the world, that kind of thing. It was extremely competitive. You know, you used to get your ratings like weeks after those rating periods were over. Now, as you know, you get them overnight.
Right away.
And
you're
able to get them overnight for years now. But gosh, we used to wait for those books to come back with the information on how we did, and it was just dreadful. It was like pins and needles walking on eggshells just waiting to find out.
So a lot of this, fair or not, individuals would position this as you against Shelby.
Yeah. And as you watch more, you'll see that that's race. And I actually said Don really wasn't my rival.
Who was?
My CCO, KSDP,
yeah.
KMSP.
All of it.
I did. Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, they were the enemy. I hated them with a zeal.
You like to go out. People go out. They see each other. There might be a broadcast event when all of a sudden it was face-to-face. What was that like?
Oh, I drop-kicked a couple women and just flat-out punched a couple guys when I met them. No, that didn't happen very often. You're always cordial and polite.
Yeah.
You're going to do anything, you know, obscene or stupid. Well, I've done those things in my life, but not in that regard.
Paul Majors is with us. We're talking about Kathy Werzer's excellent work, Broadcast Wars.
Boy, she did a good job. I got to hand it to her.
Yeah. The fact,
you know, I've said this before. She's a Minnesota treasure. She really is.
She's a great
hard,
person.
Hard working, smart person.
Yes, exactly. And in a business where we know there's a lot of people who you're like, I don't really care for that person.
I agree.
Pretty much Kathy is universally liked and
respected,
right?
Respected.
So on the early parts of the TV news scene, before I get back to how it continued to evolve while you were here, when you watched the early part of what Kathy provided, what surprised you? What stood out to you most about it?
You know, most of that I knew because of my brother's relationship with KSDP.
Yep.
So I knew a lot of the history of KSDP because my brother lived a large part of it. And there were some things about CCO I didn't know about their formation. And I didn't realize I didn't understand their dominance. I mean, there was a period where it was just those two battling it out. And CCO was really dominant until my brother Ron arrived. KSDP, as you mm-hmm. know, had been dominant early on because they were, they may have been the first television station on the air in America. I know they were among the first. They may have been I know they were the first doing a broadcast, a news broadcast. There's so many firsts at KSDP.
Yeah, no, they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Incredible ownership, and the Hubbards, you know, they plowed money back into that business. They're very smart operators.
I was reminded again, I just had forgotten this part, that Dave Moore wasn't trained as a journalist, that he was an actor. And that was so much of what he was doing. You obviously, once you were here, you heard about Dave Moore all the time. You heard about it, you know, when your brother was here. What stood out to just why he worked so well in this town?
Dave Moore would have worked well anywhere.
Yeah.
Because Dave Moore, if you live, like when you watch that, continue to watch, or for those of you who are going to watch, when you listen to Dave Moore basically read a story, that's what he's doing. He's reading a news story to you. He comes across as not reading. He's just telling you the information of the day. The guy was brilliant. He is the GOAT of Minnesota broadcasters. There's no doubt about that in my mind. He was relatable. He was so comfortable with himself on the air. And all of that came through. I mean, he's all those adjectives you can use, trustworthy, knowledgeable. He's all of that rolled
into
one. Dave Moore.
Interesting.
Dave
he would grab you.
The GOAT.
Right?
Absolutely.
Kathy was kind enough to reach out through Twitter. Reminder, if you haven't had a chance to see Broadcast Wars, I started watching it online today. You can just go to Twin Cities Public Television. But if you want to watch it on TV, hey, it's tied to November 29th, 7 p.m. So you can watch it that way. So now let's get back to you guys and the 90s, where you guys are just rolling. I know most of the credit probably goes to myself and Barrero for bringing you on the show. I mean, the things were dying at CARE, and then we picked you up. But, like, what was it like then when you kind of, as opposed to nobody believes in us, nobody watches us, to it was a long run. Were you and CARE 11 because, and you've talked about this many, many times, about just the camaraderie and the talent and how well-liked it was, and it was fun to go to work. But what was it like during that run when it was just, hey, we're on top, book after book, year after year?
Well, first of all, I want to thank you and Dan when you guys had your show on KFAN for taking me to lunch and asking me to be on your show, because the remuneration that you guys gave me changed my life radically.
Yes.
Wait, what? How much was that? That's right, zero.
It's coming.
Zero.
It's coming. It's, yeah, you know, yeah. It's, we've been...
Meanwhile, Kevin McHale, who shows up once a week, I used to give him crap about this, too. I remember when Kevin had to move on because he had other obligations. He got a fishing boat.
Different boats.
He got an SUV.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got like 10, 15 boats laying around right now. He doesn't know what to do with them.
And he never took me fishing, by the way.
Well, he claimed he was going to.
Yeah. So here's what it was like. It's us against the world.
Still.
Today.
Yeah.
Still. It had to be for me. I did enjoy it. I mean, I enjoyed it a lot with the people I worked with. It, clearly, my 20 years of CARE, for me personally, were the best years of my broadcast life. And it was because of the people. We had such an outstanding group of smart, clever people that it's just hard to put that combination together anywhere. But I've always said, you know, I always said this. So when you're rolling along in the 90s, like you just described, someone may have just moved to the Twin Cities, or someone may have been upset by something they saw on Channel 4 or Channel 5 or Channel 9.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe tonight is the night they're going to try Channel 11. So you have to be on top of your game.
Good reminder.
Every time you go on the air. You better do a good job, because it's an opportunity, and you don't want to lose those opportunities. I always likened myself to a gunfighter. That last newscast was over, and guess what? I don't have a hole in me.
Yeah.
Right. I got another newscast, so I've got to draw quicker than everybody else again. So it was just that way every day.
I got about 2 minutes left. So when you go to L.A., it's home, and it's an enormous challenge going to KCBS. What were the biggest differences at KCBS, where you had a lot of success also, compared to CARE and battling in this time when you battled in L.A.?
Big difference in esprit de corps. Huge difference. And in Los Angeles, they just stab you in the front rather in the back.
they just would let you know. Yeah,
they don't bother sneaking up on you. They just It was a complete difference in the mentality of the team effort. Complete difference.
Which I bet you missed.
I honestly did. There were days where I was depressed about it.
Yeah.
Not clinically depressed, but just depressed. Yeah.
Why was it that way?
You know, it's Los Angeles, and it's sort of, L.A.'s L.A. It's every dog for himself.
Yeah, that's fair. What's happening tomorrow with the family?
Let's see. We have youngest daughter with a roommate. They're arriving today from L.A. Oldest daughter has to work up in the Bay Area. A guy named Mike Nelson, who's actually from Tomahawk, Wisconsin. Mike just finished a career at CBS, where he was executive vice president of communications. His name's Mike Nelson, so I'm old enough that I refer to him. I've never called him Mike. I call him C. Hunt, after Lloyd Bridges.
Sure.
And a guy named Bob Howler's coming down from Seattle Wheels, one of my college roommates.
Beautiful. I am once again heading your way this winter, so let's find a way to see each other.
Oh, absolutely. You got it.
Beautiful.
Absolutely.
Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Same to you, Chad. I just want to let you know, as I try to always do, I appreciate your friendship.
I do, too. I always am reminded of that when we chat. So have a great day tomorrow.
Thanks, Chad.
Paul Majors right here on W.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
CCO.